I usually go to Erev Shabbos, but good Wednesday night to everybody. I hope it's not throwing you off having cholent on a Wednesday night, but the smell, it's like throwing off my circadian rhythm. I feel like it's almost Shabbos because you smell the smell of cholent, and yet it's only Wednesday night, so I don't know. But welcome to a Wednesday night edition of 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes. I want to thank our sponsors for this evening, Dr. Michael and Toby Eliff, in memory of Toby's mother, Sheila Quicko-Rosk, Sarah Bas Eliezer, whose yahrzeit is the 30th of Av. And her neshama should have an aliyah. And as always, our learning should be an aliyah for the neshama of Esther Tila Bas Gavriel Pinchas. Okay. We start number one with the Sefer Achinuch. One of the mitzvahs that we talk about in the Parsha this coming week is the mitzvah Maaser Sheni. So Maaser Sheni, for those who aren't paya geeks like I am. So first, we know that a farmer has to, this is by the way where Art School is amazing. Art School has these children books. And in one of them on Vayikra, it goes through all of them and it gives you a picture. I'm a very visual person. It gives you a picture of exactly what the farmer has to do in percentages. It really makes you appreciate what the farmer went through. So anyways, so first the farmer gives 2% of his produce to the Kohen, that's Truma. Then he separates 10% to the Levi as Meister Rishon. Then, all right, well, okay, I'll leave that to the actuaries amongst us. You and my brother can figure out the math. I'm a rabbi for a reason. Okay, then finally in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of a 7-year cycle, he separates another 10%, which he gives as Maaser Sheni. And of course, Maaser Sheni has to be brought to Yerushalayim. Years 3 and 6, of course, is Maaser Ani, and that gets given to the poor person. And all the Mefarshim wonder, what is the purpose of Maaser Sheni? After all, it's a very strange halacha. The halacha is, now let's say, again, we'll just make numbers easy because I'll blow them anyways. But let's say a guy makes $200,000 a year, okay? So 10% of 200,000 is? 20,000. Okay, good. So far, so good. Right? So he's going to take $20,000, he's going to bring it to Yerushalayim, where then he has to spend all $20,000 in Yerushalayim. But the rule is that he could do whatever he wants there. So he could be eating his heart's desire. He could be eating lamb chops. He could be eating short ribs. He could be eating, I don't know, what gets you guys excited? Coca-Cola, cholent, pickles, tofu. I would probably spend $200,000 on herring, right? Which is like 2 cartons at the Grove, right? So, right, so you spend $20,000.
On sale.
Okay, on sale, right? So you got $20,000. What does that matter? Who cares whether he eats the produce at home or eats in Yerushalayim? Notice, why is this a mitzvah, one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, is that he has to bring it to Yerushalayim? What do I care where he eats it? Why is it important that he's in Yerushalayim? The second thing that's important to remember is that $20,000 of food, all joking aside, is actually a lot of money to spend on food, right? To be able to go to Yerushalayim and to spend that amount. And again, I chose a number. It could have been $40,000. It could have been $60,000, right? The number could be a high number that you have to spend in a very short period of time. So why is the farmer forced to bring all of this money to Yerushalayim, all so that he can spend it? No family, let's say you're in Yerushalayim for a week, right? You're there for for Sukkot, whatever the case might be. No family's going to drop that. I don't know, maybe if you're staying at the at one of the fancy hotels. But even then, I'm not sure you'd be able to spend that in a week, right? So let's say the guy has to spend it in a week. What's the purpose of making a guy bring everything to Yerushalayim? Excuse me, and then overspend everything just to cram it into a week. So what is the purpose of Maaser Sheni? That is the question for number one. So the Alshich points out that the reason why the farmer takes all this, you don't have this yet, is to remind us that everything is from Hashem. That's the purpose of Maaser Sheni. The purpose of Maaser Sheni is that any Maaser is to remind you that it doesn't all belong to you, that it really belongs to Hashem. And so if you make $200,000, Hashem says, here, I got a great deal for you. You keep 180, and I just want 20 back. Easy enough. Okay, that's the Alshich. Now, the Alshich answers the question of why the farmer has to set aside money. He does not answer the question why you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. So there the Rambam comes along. And a lot of these ideas I saw from Rabbi Alex Israel in a very beautiful article that he has. And the Rambam says, if you think about it, 10% can be a very high number. So what happens? What happens? There's no way I can spend it all on my family in such a short period of time. So you know what I do? I go to the marketplace, and I got to get rid of the money quickly. So what do? I start distributing it. And all the poor people, all the people in need would come to the marketplace in Yerushalayim, knowing that everybody from America was bringing their Maaser Sheni. And it would be this like really beautiful exchange going on where people would have money that they were forced to give away in a very concentrated period of time. And poor people who need it would be able to have it. And so no matter how luxurious of a hotel you were staying in, you couldn't spend all the money. So it essentially guaranteed, it was a social contract, so to speak, guaranteeing that the poor people were taken care of and those with means would bring everything to Yerushalayim and would be able to give to the needy. Then comes along the Sefer HaChinuch, and this is what I want to learn with you inside tonight. Because the Sefer HaChinuch writes something beautiful. He says, if you think about it, if you do the math, and you say that you're bringing 10% of everything you have Yerushalayim, I was just saying a random amount that you were going to eat in 1 week. That's really hard to do, right? If you just play the percentages, if I take 10% and bring it to Yerushalayim, so how much of my year am I therefore spending in Yerushalayim?
2%.
Okay, whatever, a certain percentage. Right? I don't know, 10% of my stuff, so take me 10% of the year, no? So how many weeks?
5 weeks.
You're there for 5 weeks. So what am I doing in Yerushalayim for 5 weeks? So how much touring can you do? How many times can you eat the breakfast at the hotel? How many times, right? So what are you doing for 5 weeks? Says the Sefer HaChinuch something so beautiful on page number one. He says, Mishar Shea Mitzvah. He says, the reason for this mitzvah, talking about Maaser Sheni. What does Hashem want? Hashem wants us all to learn Torah. But there's a problem. We also are involved in life. And because we have to go to work and do our job and take care of our children and drive carpool and take care of our homes, so what happens? Even though we know we're supposed to be learning Torah, what happens? We get easily distracted. Hashem knows that we're going to go to work and we're going to get caught up in work. Vishagamu basar, and that we like our children on a Wednesday night. And even though we know that we're supposed to be learning Torah, life gets in the way. Life gets in the way, and you don't end up learning the way you should be because you have work and because you have obligations and because you have responsibilities and because of the rat race of life. And so there's a cognitive dissonance. Even though I know that I'm supposed to be learning, but life gets in the way. Life gets in the way. Therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Vilachain, I skipped a little bit. Be'alos kolish meiser, kol bakar vatzon. Here's talking about meiser bakar, but he references meiser sheni here, so it's the same idea. When a person brings meiser to Yerushalayim, shana b'shana, b'makom she'esek ha'chachma v'atorah sham v'Yerushalayim, when he comes to a place of learning Torah, and the Sanhedrin is there, so what does he do? What does he do? Al kopanim o yelech sham ba'al ha'mamon atzmo lilmo Torah. Excuse me. O yishlach sham echan mibanav she'ilmo sham v'yanizon be'osam peros. What happens? What happens, says the Sefer HaChinuch? When the guy comes to Yerushalayim, you know what he's doing there? He's surrounded by the Kedusha. He's surrounded by Torah. So you might have to go to the marketplace, and you might still eat in the Waldorf breakfast, but how many days can you do that? So by the end of the first week, you've gained 10 pounds, and you can't look at food anymore. So what do you do the rest of your trip? Okay, so you might go to the market like the Rambam, and you might share it with the needy. Okay, that's two more days. What am I doing for the other 4 weeks while I'm there? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, achapashir. I'll learn a little bit. Maybe I'll find a chavrusa. Maybe I'll go to the Kotel and be inspired. Maybe I'll go to the Beis HaMikdash and be inspired by that. So essentially what the Torah is doing is it's building in a mechanism that requires, that almost guarantees that a person has to go to Yerushalayim, build out time in their busy schedule to make time for learning. Now the reason why I love the Sefer HaChinuch is because what the Sefer HaChinuch is really saying is that if we don't make time for something, it will not happen. If we don't make time for it, it will not happen. We could have all the best intentions in the world. That's how a Sefer HaChinuch starts off. I know I'm supposed to learn Torah. And yet, with a capital Y, life gets in the way. I have obligations. I have responsibilities. I have things that I need to take care of. I have work. I have a whole slew of things. And then I get retired. I got to play my mahjong. I got a lot to do in the day, right? Okay, so I got a lot to do in the day. So life gets in the way. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, the greatness, the brilliance of Maaser Sheni is that it forces you to go to Yerushalayim to carve out time in your schedule to say, this is when I'm going to learn Torah. This is when I'm going to surround myself with Torah. This is when I'm going to involve myself in my spiritual pursuits. And the reason why I love this is because I think this is a great entrance point into the month of Elul. Great entrance point to the month of Elul. Because Elul, as I pointed out in the past, is not just taking on another mitzvah. It's not just saying, oh, you know what, I'm going to say a bracha a little. Okay, those are all nice. I'm not minimizing it, but it's really an opportunity to recalibrate our priorities, recalibrate our sense of purpose and why it is that we're living. So one of the questions a person can ask himself in the month of Elul is the way I use my time a proper reflection of my priorities? Right? So I say that I love my children, but how much time do I spend on them versus being on the phone or being at work? I say I love to learn, but how much time am I willing to invest in it? I say I want to be healthier, but how much time do I invest in that also? Right? In other words, do our priorities align with our time commitments? And if I really value something, so I'm going to designate time for it. That's the mitzvah, says the Sefer HaChinuch, of Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni said that a guy has to go to Yerushalayim, and while he's there, it's almost built into the mitzvah. Hashem guarantees that you're going to have time each year when you basically have nothing else to do. You're in Yerushalayim trying to spend the money. And so what else are you going to do? You're going to learn. You're going to spend time at the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to spend time with Kohanim and Levim who are going to inspire you. So it's built into the mechanism, a way to say to yourself, if I value something, then I got to be willing to set aside time for it. And then if you notice, the Sefer HaChinuch at the end threw something in where what happens when that person goes to Yerushalayim? So he's not taking his whole family, right? The whole family can't go for all 5 weeks. So he's going by himself, or he's sending one of his children to go. What happens when he comes back or his child comes back? What impact do you think that has on the family when the father comes home spiritually recharged? What impact do you think that has on the family when the son comes home from 5 weeks of learning Yerushalayim? It doesn't just impact him, but it impacts everyone else around him. And so the Maaser Sheni is not just a reminder that if we value something, we have to set aside time for it. But it's also a reminder that when you make choices to invest in your spirituality, it reverberates and has a ripple effect to the people around you as well. That the Kedusha that I choose to build, the life of Kedusha that I choose to live, doesn't just impact me, but it impacts my family, it impacts my community, it impacts my neighborhood as well. That is the ripple effect. That is the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni. That's why Dafka, you go to Yerushalayim, it's not just enough to stay at home. But Dafka, you have to go to Yerushalayim because there's going to be a spiritual impact as well. That is idea number one. Yeah.
They actually go out and give out money or like cards? How do they distribute the money?
How do they distribute it? For another time. Money, let's say. Money. They give out cards too. Okay. Idea number two comes from Rav Moshe Sternbach. It's quoted here from the Chibina Rav, Rav David Weinfeld, in the Dovev Misharim, he quotes it. I actually saw a quote in a few different places. But here he quotes from Moshe Sternbach. So the Pasuk in the Parsha, again, one of the ideas that we're going to talk about in the Parsha is feeding poor people, is helping poor people. And within that context, the Torah tells us, Nason titein lo, that you should give someone in need, v'lo yeira levavcha besitcha lo. You should not fear, you shouldn't feel bad. No, the first person should say, oh, I'm giving tzedakah, woe unto me, or what's going to be. You shouldn't have any of those thoughts. Why? Keep it glal hadavar zeh, because of this davar, assuming this right now is the giving of tzedakah, because of giving tzedakah, yivarechecha, Hashem elokecha, b'chol ma'asecha, b'chol mishlach yadecha. Don't feel bad giving tzedakah, because Hashem promises you that whatever you give in tzedakah, He's going to pay you back. He's going to give you a bracha for. That's pasha pshat in the pasuk. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach, that is not what the pasuk means at all. That when it says ki beglal hadavar hazeh, which we interpreted to mean because of this thing, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, that's not the case. The davar is milashon dibor. It's not just the giving of tzedakah, but it's the way you give tzedakah. It's the dibor. In other words, a guy comes to your door. A mashulach comes to your door. So there are two ways to give tzedakah. Or actually, there are three ways to respond. One is you could say, my father's not home, and slam the door. Okay? Or you could throw a check or throw a $5 bill in their face and slam the door because you're annoyed that's right during dinner and they're the 19th person on a Sunday night who's come to your door. Or you can give them the check or the $5 or the $10 or the $18 and put a smile on your face and ask them how their trip was and ask them if they need a cup of cold water because it's hot in Florida and it could be a little bit difficult. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach, that is the guarantee that Hashem gives us. The guarantee is not on the giving of tzedakah. The guarantee of biglal hadavar hazeh is not because of the giving of tzedakah. It's the dibor, it's the way you give tzedakah. Yivarechecha Hashem elokecha b'chol ma'aseicha b'chol mishlach yadecha. The bracha that Hashem gives is not just for the giving of tzedakah, but it's for the way you give tzedakah. V'hainu, says Rav Moshe Sternbach in the third line. V'hainu, she'es ha'bracha einu makabel ala nasina. The blessing Hashem guarantees for tzedakah is not on the giving of tzedakah. Listen carefully. Ela ala diburim she'mefayis behemes ani. It's the way you speak to a poor person. She'menachim oso. You give them words of comfort. Here he says, galgel chozer ba'olam. Today you might be in need, but tomorrow you'll be the one with money and maybe I'll be in the need. Vod yavo yom v'yala mazlo. Right, your mazel can change. Or to put it differently, right? You think these people want to be coming to your door? You think a guy wants to leave his family, come from Eretz Yisrael, schlep around America, knocking on people's door, having them slammed in his face? You think that's like a covetic way for a guy to be? Whatever we think, whether we think it's annoying, whether we think it's not, whether there are people that take advantage, we could all have that debate. But at the end of the day, do you think that's like a guy wakes up when he's 8 years old and when everyone else wants to be a fireman and a baseball player, he's like, you know what, I want to be leaving my family, traveling to America for a week and schlepping around in a car, right, begging for money. No, that's no one's first choice. So the guy's coming to your door, so you treat him like a mensch. Treat him with a little bit of respect. You give a smile. You give him a few words of encouragement. Now, if you could tune out right now, for those who like a little lumdus, I'll give you a little lumdus that he quotes here. He says, this is Pshat and Tosos. Because Tosos asks a question. How can you force a guy to give tzedakah? The Gemara says that one of the things we do is we can force a guy to give tzedakah. And Tosos says, how can you force a guy to give tzedakah? We have a general principle that you don't force someone to do a mitzvah where the reward is explicit in the Torah. That's like a general rule in Shas. If the reward is explicit in the Torah, then we don't force the guy to do the mitzvah. So ask Tosfos, wait a second. What about over here? How can you force a guy to give tzedakah? The reward, Hashem says, Ki yivarechecha Hashem elokecha b'chol maaseh. Hashem says, I'm going to give you a bracha. So how can you force a guy to do it? So here he quotes from Rav Moshe Sternbach, that no, you're misunderstanding. Because the reward in our pasuk was not for the giving of tzedakah. The reward in our pasuk is for the way you give tzedakah. That's what the reward is. When we force a guy to give tzedakah, that's what we say, okay, you got to give your 10%. I don't care how you give it. You want to do it like a manuvel? You can do it like a manuvel. Bottom line is you make $200,000. I want you to give the $20,000. I'm going to force you to do that. But if you really want the schar, what we're talking about in the pasuk, says Rav Sternbach, that is a different thing altogether. That is the smile that you put on your face when you're giving the tzedakah. And so I have two lessons from here. Number one is whether you're cutting a check to the rabbi's discretionary fund, whether you're giving something to an organization, and sometimes it could be a little difficult and cumbersome and you're annoyed that people, how many times is this guy calling me for tzedakah, the same organization? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Baruch Hashem, you're in that position. If you're on that side of the table, Baruch Hashem, you are in that position. Never complain for a second. You should give with a whole heart, a besimcha rabba, that you are on the giving side. That you are on the giving side. And if you're that guy, because you're on the giving side, there's on Sunday night, right when you're in the middle of your family dinner, and there's a knock on one door after another, and it's a little bit annoying, and just say to yourself, this idea of Rav Sternbach, that the Torah's guarantee of Hashem's reward is not just on the giving. It's not on the giving, says Rav Sternbach, but rather it's on the way that you give. Think about it. Think about when a guy comes to your door and whether you're able to give them $1, whether you're able to give them $10, $18, $30. I got to tell you, there's someone in our community who gives, I think it's like $1. $1 she puts in and she gives it to the rabbis. $1. For her, $1. What am I to judge? $1, $18, $1,800? But when you give it besimcha, that's the lesson that your children see. That's the lesson that your family sees. It's not about the number necessarily. Everyone, according to their account, some can give more, some can give less. But here's something that everyone can do. Everyone can give it with a smile. Everyone can give it like a mensch. Everyone can give it making the person feel in a dignified fashion. And so therefore, says Rav Sternbach, when the Torah says, ki beglal hadavar zeh, that you're going to get rewarded because of this thing. And we all thought, what was this thing? This thing was giving tzedakah. Says Rav Sternbach, you're wrong. It's not biglal hadavar hazeh, ela bedibor hazeh. Dibor, the way you give it, the way you speak to the person, the way you smile to a person. That's what the Gemara tells us, that a smile can be more valuable than a cup of milk. Or put differently for those of us who live in Florida, if you're coming back from a run and someone hands you an ice cold bottle of water, you'd rather a smile from them. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there you'd rather the water, but right? But a smile is more valuable. The way you treat another person is invaluable. This is this very beautiful, powerful idea from Rav Sternbach. Idea number two, ki beglal hadavar hazeh, it's not hadavar hazeh, rabar hadibor, it's the way that we speak. And says Rav Sternbach, now you understood the Tosfos, how can you force a guy to give tzedakah? The reward is mentioned. No. The reward here is not for the giving of tzedakah. The reward is for the way you give tzedakah. The giving of the tzedakah, that we can force you. But here we're talking about something altogether different, and therefore we shouldn't just consider that we give tzedakah, but each of us should consider how we give the tzedakah. And that, I think, our children and grandchildren, our families are watching just as much as anything else. So idea number one we saw from the Sefer HaChinuch about the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni. Why do we have to come to Yerushalayim? Oh, because once you come to Yerushalayim, it's going to designate time for learning. That if we value something, if we care about something, then we have to set aside time for it. Whether that's learning, whether that's family, whether that's health, whatever it is you value, this Elul makes sure you are setting aside time for it. If you don't set aside time for it, you don't really value it. Idea number two came from Rav Moshe Sternbach, the mitzvah of tzedakah, where he says the mitzvah of tzedakah is not just giving tzedakah, but rather it is how you give the tzedakah, something that I know I need to work on, and I would venture to say many of us need to work on as well. Idea number three comes from the Maor Vashemesh. The Maor Vashemesh writes the following in the very first pasuk of the parsha: A, Anochi nosein levetchem ayom bracha uklala. Hashem says, "Look, I place before you bracha and klala." So he quotes here from Rav Yechiel Michal Mizlacha on the pasuk Anochi omeid bein Hashem uveinechem. What is this word Anochi? Anochi means I. And the pasuk over there in Dvarim says, "I stand between Hashem and you." He says the following. What gets in between us and Hashem? It's the sense of Anochi. It's my ego. It's my sense of self-worth. That is what ultimately creates a separation between me and Hashem. Now, this is a very Hasidic idea. The Hasidim talk about the ultimate level being bittel, or mevatel myself to Hashem, when it's never about me, but it's always about Hashem and His ratzon in the world. But we don't even have to get so Kabbalistic to understand what this means. Where he says, Anochi omeid bein Hashem uveinechem, that it's the Anochi, it's the sense of I, it's my ego, thinking about it's my entitlements, what I need, what I deserve, what's in it for me, all of that says the Maor Vashemesh is what gets in the way of us and Hashem. He says, Shemisha mechashev es atzmo, a person who thinks only about himself, right, I deserve, in Israel they have a phrase, magiali. Magiali, right? Like you've worked hard, you've killed it in tax season. Magiali, I deserve a break, right? So this is more of a shemesh. Magiali, if a person says, I deserve it, I deserve, it's about me, it's about my needs, about my wants. Al yedei zehu osem masach, you make a barrier. Hamavdil beino levein Hashem yisbarach. You make a barrier between you and Hashem. The ego is the one thing that gets in the way of you and Hashem. He says in the next paragraph, now listen, this is beautiful. Lo kol ha'itim shavos. Not all ego's bad. Not all ego's bad. There's a good form of ego. You know when that is, he says? Ironically, when you go into davening. Because when I go into davening, it's very easy for me to think to myself, like, who am I? Who am I to speak to the creator of the universe? Who am I that my little need of asking Hashem for something that's so specific and minute and trivial in my life, but I'm going to speak to the creator of the universe? Who am I? So there says the Maor Vashemesh, anyone who has that, that's heresy. Ki kesha'adam omeid lishpoch si'icho livnei Hashem, that when a person stands before Hashem, azim yala alavavo, leymar mi anochi, if a person says, who am I? Lo yuchal liskar v'asmo, you cannot approach Hashem. The foundation of tefillah is chutzpah. That is the foundation. Think about it. Davening is an extremely chutzpahdik act. It is chutzpahdik for me to come to Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm demanding something. Hashem, I'm asking something. Hashem, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth and the universe and the sun and the moon and the stars. But you know what? Like, I have a test next week and I'd really appreciate help on the test. Or I'm having this little struggle at work and it's, you know, hurting my bottom line. I'd love to have a little help with that. What a chutzpah. Hashem's busy running the world. Do you think He cares about your little... The answer is yes. That the foundation of davening is a healthy set of chutzpah. Healthy sense of chutzpah. And therefore, he says, when it comes to davening, the ego is actually incredibly important because it forces you to say, no, I belong here. I belong. Hashem wants me to be talking to him. Hashem wants me to be having a conversation. He wants me to be asking him. There, it is a good thing. He says, V'zeu she'amru re'ei anochi. Now we understand the beginning of our pasuk. Re'ei Hashem says, see, I place before anochi, nosein lifnechem hayom bracha uklala. The anochi, your sense of ego, can either be a blessing or it can be a curse. Your ego could be a blessing of a curse. It's a blessing if you use it to talk to Hashem, to have a conversation with Hashem. Shemash adam machzik atmo liyesh, davar zen nosin livnechem bracha uklala. It could either be a blessing or a curse. I have the number one there. Shebeim sarich lahachzik atmo levarich lemelech malchi amlechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you have to get yourself motivated to speak to Hashem and realize the level of chutzpah that requires, so there, your chutzpah, your sense of anochius, your sense of ego is a bracha. It's a great blessing. Achein beimu misnase atasmo. But if I use it to put other people down, if I use it for my ego, if I use it to build myself up, if I use it to walk through the world about my needs and my wants and my desires, and it's all about me, then the sense of ego is the ultimate klala. Now, says the Mor of Hashemesh, we can reread the first pasuk of the parsha. Re'ei Hashem says, Anochi nosein lifnechem hayom bracha uklala. Anochi. Your ego, your sense of self-worth, I'm placing before you, Hashem says. But recognize, that could either be a bracha or a klala. If you use your platform, if you use the gifts and talents and resources and abilities that Hashem gave you, and you use it to in service of others, if you use it in service of Hashem, then all of that is a bracha. Then everything Hashem gave you, your sense of anochi, who you are, and what Hashem made you into, that's an amazing bracha. If you're able to learn, or if you have a skill set and someone calls you for a favor and you use it to help them, that's an amazing bracha that Hashem gave you. You shouldn't call, someone calls you, let's say you're a lawyer and someone calls you for a favor. They need, they're in a pickle, they're in trouble, and you pick up the phone, you say, and you're a world-renowned lawyer, ich bin a pashut, a lawyer, who am I supposed to help you? I'm not really worth, you think you're doing the guy any favor? That's a klala then. You're misusing the gifts that Hashem gave you. If in that circumstance you use it and you say, you know what? Hashem gave me an ability. Hashem gave me a talent. Hashem gave me resources. I'm going to use it to help another Jew. I'm going to use it to help an organization. I'm going to use it to help someone else. Then your sense of self-worth there is the greatest bracha. You're using the platform. You're using the skills that Hashem gave you for good. On the other hand, if you take all of those gifts and talents and resources and abilities that Hashem gave you, and the only thing that you do it is in service to yourself, to make more money, and for your name, and for your ego, and for your reputation, and for then it's a klala. Then it's the ultimate klala. Says the Mor of Hashemesh, that's the pasuk. Re'ei, Hashem says, see, anochi, your sense of ego, your self-worth, can either be a bracha or a klala. If you use it for good, it's the greatest bracha. If you misuse it, then it is the greatest klala. And that choice is up to you. And so all of us are of inestimable value. Hashem gave us each a unique set of abilities and talents and gifts and resources, and we're supposed to use it. And we're supposed to realize that if I'm here, it's because Hashem has a purpose for me and I got to use it. Imagine if I, as a rabbi, said, you know what? What am I? Okay, so Baruch Hashem, my parents sent me to yeshiva and I was able to go through smicha, but who am I? What am I? So you think that's doing anyone a favor? You think if I were to say that and therefore not give shirim good, you think I'd be doing anyone a favor? That wouldn't be doing anyone a favor. On the other hand, if I were to say to myself, ha ha ha, you know, look at me, okay, then it's a klala. All of us were given abilities by Hashem to use in service of other people, in service of Hashem. If we do that and we recognize our value, then that is the ultimate bracha. If we misuse it, then it is the ultimate klala. So we saw three ideas in 30 minutes. Idea number one was from the Sefer Achinuch. Why do we have the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni? What does the Torah care if I eat 10% of my profits in my home, or if I have to schlep it to Yerushalayim? What does the Torah care? The answer, says the Sefer Achinuch, is that the Torah wants you to build in time for learning Torah. If you don't build in time for things that you matter, you will not get to them. Life gets in the way. That's what Sefer Achinuch writes. It's not me, and you all know that it is true. This Elul is a great opportunity to make sure that our priorities align with the time that we put into it. If I care about something, that I'm going to make time for it. Otherwise, there's no chance for success. Idea number two came from Rav Moshe Sternbach. Ki beglal hadavar zeh. Hashem says, because of this, yivarechecha, I'm going to give you a bracha. And we all thought that this was the giving of the tzedakah. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach, no. The beglal hadavar is not because of hadavar, it's rather hadibor. It's the way that I speak to someone when I give the tzedakah. That is ultimately what the reward is about. That is what each of us has to work on. And the last idea was the Morva Shemesh, about the Anochi, about the sense of ego, that it's a bracha and a klala. If I use it for good, if I use it to motivate, if I use it to inspire me in service to others and to relate to Hashem, then it's the biggest bracha. On the other hand, if I use it because it's all about me, to be nasei etz atzmo, to raise myself up for my own ego and for my own self-aggrandizement, then it is the biggest curse. That choice is a choice that each of us have to make. And certainly in a world of social media, certainly in a world where everything is judged by likes and platforms and how many Instagram followers, right? All of that, it is the most unhealthy world we live in. We constantly have to be reevaluating ourselves. Why am I doing something? What is the end goal? What is the purpose for why Hashem created me? And as long as we have those types of cheshbonos, then we'll be able to turn the Anochi from a klala into a bracha. Wish everyone a good Shabbos.